The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Saoirse Hanley, the audience editor and columnist of The Independent. You're both very welcome. Are you Halloween? You're not Halloween school discoing tonight now. You're past that, are you?
Huh?
Halloween?
Did you ever go to a school disco?
No, but do you not have a school disco that you used to go to? This is a big thing now. This the last Friday.
Right.
Big Halloween school
disco.
No, they
all got dressed up today, apparently, bar my child.
Oh. So,
but I'd say a lot didn't because they were kind of like,
too cool.
Yeah.
Too cool.
So, and then anytime I talk to her about midterm plans, which is next week, she's like, I'll figure something out. I'm like, well, you're going to have to loop me in at some stage on this. So.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we have the school, there's a school disco tonight.
Right. You know, is that more primary school?
Primary school, yeah. So basically it's just loads of like scores and scores of children dressed up. Dancing to like Cabin Crew over and over again. that's it. Like every now and then they'll put in a different song, but I suspect it'll just be the same song on repeat.
What costumes have you in the house tonight?
Zombie cheerleader.
Lovely.
Can I guess? You told us before.
Go on. Zombie cheerleader is
and
my
zombie farmer.
You've been told before.
No, it changed.
Oh, zombie politician.
You're not going to get it. He's dressed up as Caleb from Clarkson's Farm. Jeremy Clarkson's farmhand.
Oh my God. It's kind of a farmer.
What?
I was kind
of
right.
Yeah, we're not a million miles away. Yeah.
I love
and what's
costumes.
The what? And he's not the only one in his class.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There's a group of them and there's the whole cast of Clarkson's Farm, which I think is over 18s on Amazon Prime. Parent of the year right here.
Oh my God.
Yeah. They're all gone as different characters.
Does he have a defining thing so you know that when you look at him, you go, you're that guy?
Yeah, he does. He has the right colour hair anyway. And then he has a kind of a check shirt and a kind of a fleece gilet and working trousers and kind of boots.
It sounds very generic.
Yeah, no, but I'm telling you.
He knows who he is.
And there's a Jeremy Clarkson. There's a...
Wow, full cast. That's
funny. Yeah, there's a Charlie Ireland. Who's the... Isn't Gerald? Yeah, they're all in the class.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Anyway. You've got a related winner and sinner, actually. Your winner is your sinner to a degree.
Right. Okay.
No, not so much, but they're in the same ballpark.
Do we have to fight?
Because your winner is
Mark Hamill.
Why?
Because
you're confusing, and this has nothing to do with my sinner. Go on.
Mark Hamill. He was making fun of Trump and taking him down before it was cool, before we all did it. So he's really outspoken. And most recently, he was at a rally saying, "Don't go to the orange side instead of obviously the dark side." I just love him as a person. I think he's funny. I think he's had an interesting career. I'm a sucker when I hear in celebrity world that couples actually stay together because it's so rare.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, so cute. They got married in 1978. And he's, you know, he and Carrie Fisher had a really fascinating relationship. They were really close, but they argued a lot like siblings.
Well, they kissed and then they were brother and sister, which was weird.
I know, that was weird.
Yeah.
And then Game of Thrones came along and that was the norm. So,
yeah.
But I just love him so much in that he was always outspoken. He's used his platform for really good things. Like he's pro-Palestine as well, and he's joined a UN group 2 years ago in support of the Ukraine. Like he's just not afraid to shy away from that when other people might be. So, yeah.
He kind of had years where he wasn't on the cultural radar at all.
No. And I don't know why
we came back.
That's probably the secret
Star Wars. Was it the new Star Wars brought him back?
On the skeletons. So, yeah. Mike Scully's.
Oh, yeah.
But he's just, I think it's like he's been so clever with his kind of takedown of Trump, and he's just been really, really vocal about it. And I suppose he's on my mind now because we're so close. When do you fly out?
Sunday week.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
3 days. Yeah. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from Fitzpatrick's Hotel, New York City.
Oh my God, the only hotel in the city, apparently, for Irish people.
Yeah. I'm staying there a week later. That's so exciting.
No way. Are you?
I am.
Oh,
I've never heard of it until right now.
It's where all the Irish people go.
Yeah.
You've never stayed there?
No.
It's great.
This is exciting.
Oh, Chris and Shane, all the gang
there. Oh, they're the guys.
God, they're going to take such great care of you. Your sinner of the week is...
America!
That's in where a general sense.
If I could do some like eagle sounds, I would do that there. America's my sinner this week because... And now I understand the link.
Your eagle sounds thing. Jess Kelly got me listening to this podcast about... It's Oh God, can't remember the name of it. And it was, there was a series about Monica Lewinsky. There was a series about Richard Nixon. There was a series. What are they called?
I don't know what it's called.
Anyway, this one is about Fox News, and Fox News got so popular that, you know, the way that the Fox icon in the corner revolves.
Yeah.
The reason they brought a revolving icon in is because the static icon was burned into people's television screens because they weren't changing the channel. They'd turn off the TV and it would stay there.
Oh my God.
It would burn onto the screen.
That is really
so they had to put up a revolving.
This will help the folks.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, they're like the screaming eagle. That's exactly the type of sound effect they'd have.
Hypnotizing or something, though. They're just like,
if they're your sinner, but you're going there soon.
I am. Yeah, I'm nothing if not hypocritical, Alison. I'm a woman of many kinds. Yes. America's my sinner, and that's why I'm going after election. No, I'm kidding. I just am completely baffled, and anyone who's spoken to me all week can attest to the fact that every single day I'm like, guys, come on, America, what's going on here? Mm. Why is it close? And the more I think about the election, the crazier I actually feel like I'm getting. Like, I opened Instagram earlier and there was a piece from The Cut or something, and it was like, Donald Trump is facing his 27th sexual assault allegation.
I know.
And I was like, 27?
You think you're living in a parallel universe.
I
do.
Actually feel,
I know.
Like, reading about this, I'm like, how is it in, like, I think another poll came out today that said it was exactly even at the minute. And I get it. Okay, I understand. It's a big ask to ask America to elect a black woman as the president. Absolutely. Sure. That's, you know, historically, that's not something they've done.
Yeah.
And sure, it would be a new frontier. Absolutely. But how is, like,
that worse than 27 charges?
How is that worse? How is that worse than a convicted felon? Like, I just don't understand. And there's a real, I keep seeing all these videos of, you know, all these pollsters or people who are on the streets and they're asking random people what they're voting or if they're first time voters, all this kind of crack. And there was one the other day and she was like, yeah, I'm voting for Trump. And they were like, oh, like, how come? And she's like, oh, my dad's a cop. I was like, that tells us nothing. Your dad could arrest Donald Trump. Like, how is this a question?
He is securing weird pockets of the population, though, that should be by definition against him. Well, everybody should be against him.
It's a total contradiction.
Yeah.
But I read there was something really interesting during the week about
middle class white women love Donald Trump, don't they? Isn't that like one of the big demographics that won the election for him in 2016?
Yeah.
And that he lost to Joe Biden. That's how he lost, they say, because he lost middle class white women.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a really interesting point that was kind of brought up recently, that Trump needs a few more women to get the bulk of men to get his vote over the line.
Mm-hmm.
Kamala needs a few more men to get her largely female vote over the line. So, like, gender is this huge question for them, the whole election cycle, as it always tends to be. But it's not something that she's capitalizing on in the way Hillary did. She's not like, yes, women, vote for me. But it's still such a big question. And I actually have no idea what to expect.
I think they lump people into the demographic groups they lump them into are too big. I think in the States.
It's just
like the black vote, the Hispanic vote, the middle class white woman vote. I mean, that's a huge, like, as in the reason a middle class white woman votes a certain way in Michigan is very different from
different
the way a middle class white woman is going to vote in Florida. Yet they're all kind of, for ease of
the
analysis,
thing,
they're all lumped in together.
I do love her so much, and I really hope that it goes that way. And I might be guilty of what happened when Trump won the last time, which is everybody I follow online. Like, I went to bed, like all of us, going, he's not going to win this, because I only followed lefties. And I do see a lot of, like, Republicans for Harris and all that kind of stuff. And everyone's in love with Tim Walz. The only criticism I have of Kamala is she's saying folks a lot. And I think that's more of an Obama word.
Okay.
Folks. Folks, I was like,
says,
I just wish she'd
presidential
got
appropriation.
Her own word. Kamala, stop saying folks.
All right. What's on the show, Alison, this weekend?
We're going to go Halloween themed. We're going to be talking about a few different local festivals around the country. And there's a really cool book, Ciarán Fanning. Do you know him?
No.
So it's called Haunted Ireland. It's not really, you might pick it up and go, this is for kids, but it's pretty spooky. And it's like a scary history of Ireland. I love it. So we're going to be talking to him as well.
All right. Sounds good. Saoirse, who is your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is Letterboxd, the app. Well, rather, we're winners for being able to use Letterboxd, the app. Do either of you have it, first of all?
Huh?
Great. I wish I could describe the faces that are looking back at me right now. Letterboxd kind of, I got it at the start of this year, but I think since maybe last year, a couple of years before, it's been like gaining popularity. And it's basically an app where you can log a film.
Oh, it's only been popular for 3 years. That's why I'm in Alison.
So it's fine. That's why it's new. Yeah.
It's got to hit that 5-year mark.
Was it around in the 80s? Because I would know.
They are Internet Explorer browser users. No, but the app is basically, it's very simple. It's a very simple interface. You literally just log a film as you watch it. You can review it. And you can just leave it there. And I personally really like it for like a diary of films that I've seen throughout the year. Because I'm always like, when did I see that? Did I like it? What did I think? Or whatever. So I can go back and look at that. But you can follow your friends. Your friends can follow you. And you can see what they're reviewing as well. So I've gotten really into it in the past year, and I find it really funny because I can look back on like periods of the year as they went. Like, I'll pull up my letterbox and tell you what
like
I what
crime
May.
Dramas for the month of
like,
October.
I'll tell you
all
what May
movies
looked like
or
for me.
TV shows as well.
All movies. Okay. There's another app called Serialized, I think, for series I haven't used. But there's a real sense of like, I don't know if either of you log things like books on Goodreads or whatever. There's a real sense of accomplishment when you finish something of like, oh, dopamine, I get to go and log this somewhere. And that's what
definitely
happens for this.
Do not do that. Well, I don't have an expression.
Get on it. But so basically, if you, and you can also pick your top four. So that's a big thing.
What's your top four?
The top four? Okay.
Of all time.
Of all time.
Oh, yeah. Can
Star
of worms.
Wars. Star Wars.
That's the can of worms
Star
opening. Go.
Yep, give me your four. My top four are Calamity Jane. About
is this
time.
Is this an ascending order?
No, just four blanket. There's no, I don't have,
right,
I
no
couldn't
order.
Top one,
the four.
But I have four.
Ooh,
but Calamity right. Jane, which is an excellent film, yeah. Doris Day, About Time, Dead Poets Society, very on brand for an English graduate, and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, the perfect rom-com.
They're your 10 favourite movies. They're yeah. Four favourite movies.
And this is the thing, it's become a big
what would be yours?
Like, yeah.
The first Back to the Future, Jaws.
Mm. Yes.
Mm. Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Yes.
And Empire Strikes Back.
Okay, we'd be kind of quite similar. Mm. E.T. is still there for me. Like,
is
we're
it?
Really dating
yeah.
ourselves. And also, What's Eating Gilbert Grape? I love that one.
Oh, that's a lovely movie. Yeah. It's hard to pick four, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It's hard because you got to really whittle it down. But what Letterboxd and the team started doing, like on red carpets and stuff when they're invited to things, is they, for their social media, they'd ask celebrities their top four.
Right.
So like Saoirse Ronan just did hers. Bridesmaids was on there, which is an excellent film.
Yes.
And one thing I've noticed, what's really funny about having other people on it, is that like I went to log a film the other day and I was giving it 5 stars. And a friend of mine at work had given it 1.5. So...
well, I give you a 7. So... About Time stars Donald Gleeson and a former presenter on this radio station, quite a few years departed, once asked Donald Gleeson when he was doing the press for About Time, if he could go back in time, would he reverse the decision to make this terrible movie?
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't go down well.
Wonder who that was.
Didn't go down well.
That yeah. is diabolical. That is one of my favourite movies.
So, he was so convinced it was a bad movie that even Donald Gleeson would be kind of in on it, would be like, oh yeah, I know.
That's
terrible.
So many people when I tell them my top four are like, oh yeah, that's on mine too. That's crazy.
No.
But I'll give you a snapshot into May. Right.
Okay.
So in May, I watched The Idea of You. I watched The Fast and Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, The Talented Mr. Ripley,
oh,
Fast and
good.
Furious, Tokyo Drift, Fast and Furious, and Fast 5.
Oh my God.
I haven't seen any of those, seriously.
No.
One of those got 4.5 stars. So make
Which
of that
one?
What you will.
What
it wasn't
give...
The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Oh, no.
That got 4 stars, to be fair. I gave Fast and Furious, which is not The Fast and the Furious. Those are separate movies.
Are they?
Fast and Furious is 4. The Fast and the Furious is number one. I gave Fast and Furious, which is the fourth film, 4.5 stars.
I'm going to be honest. I'm getting anxiety thinking about being that organized with my downtime. I couldn't do it.
It does make a chore out of like
I couldn't
your
yeah.
hobby. But I'm really enjoying looking back. And like that, I do think the only thing is being able to see what others have given.
Does it make you feel under pressure to go and watch a movie? Like, you know, the way people on Strava feel, oh God, I got to go for a run, or people think I'm not running anymore. Do you think, oh no, I've got to watch a movie now?
I actually think
have you ever put in a fake movie?
No,
do you ever
never.
Say, oh, Oppenheimer, amazing, transcendent.
Do you think another,
actually you just watched Barbie again.
And well, another great comparison here is that I've got The Wind That Shakes the Barley that I watched again earlier this month.
Excellent.
That I gave 4 stars. And then the next day I watched Bridget Jones, The Edge of Reason. But that one I got 2.5 stars.
All right. Alison, who's your sinner of the week then?
Dublin.
Oh.
So, second most expensive city in Europe to live. And for digital nomads, maybe not for everybody, but people who want to come and work in a city remotely and temporarily. So London beats us. They've taken all sorts of factors like cost of, you know, rent, cost of food, just general being out in the existing and living. And yeah, we come in ahead of Stockholm.
Were you nearly going to say out and about and you stopped yourself there?
Out and about. We come ahead of Amsterdam, Paris, Copenhagen and Stockholm. Copenhagen and Stockholm, I'd imagine, would be quite expensive. So best bang for your buck if you're a digital nomad is go to Budapest.
Huh.
So yeah. So London on average to survive
like Budapest
is 3,227 euro and we're 2,600 basically. And Budapest is 900 for all in living expenses for a month.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, Budapest is a great city.
Yeah.
What's your favorite city in Europe?
I don't know.
You probably have an app with your top four.
I would
four
say Amsterdam probably.
Yeah.
3 stars. Yeah. I love
it. I give it 4 stars.
No, it's so good. I love it.
Do you have a favorite?
I think Rome. I love Rome.
Yeah, I do like Rome.
Yeah, I do love Rome. Where? What city that you've never been to would you love to go to if you could get a free long weekend in a city? Anywhere?
I would like to go east more. Like I've done, like obviously Spain. Not yeah. obviously. I've done Spain, France.
I mean, obviously.
You know what?
Obviously.
Here it is. If she's gone anywhere,
yeah.
It's Spain.
Yeah.
Like I'd like to go.
Who hasn't
further.
Weekended?
Yeah, of course.
Madrid.
Well, I haven't been to Europe in so long, actually.
Mm. Well, I'm in Europe. I'd like to go to Budapest. Actually, never been.
Never been to Budapest.
Been to Budapest.
Great city.
Nope.
I think Istanbul. I'd love to go to Istanbul.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
finding
anyway, hard to think of
I don't know,
right now.
I don't know when the next Turkish elections are on, but there's a Fitzpatrick's Hotel equivalent in downtown Istanbul. I'm all over it. Turkish Airlines can bring us and sponsor it. We could do the slot there.
Are you going to do your Instagram post? Like, look at the swan they made out of the towel here. Are you going to do all that
Oh, yeah,
stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay, all right.
It'll be shameless.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
It'll be absolutely
I'll watch
shameless.
With interest.
Sorry, I kind of digressed there. Dublin, the cost of Dublin.
Oh, yeah, so that's basically why. And like, we talked about this a few times on this slot as well. It's like, you want to go out, you want to enjoy it, you want to support businesses. They have to bring their prices up. And it's just becoming this cycle of going, oh, God. Like, it is so expensive. And last week, I don't know what happened, but I felt like I did the big shop. And then I shopped almost every day thereafter, like just getting little bits and pieces. And I was like, how's it cost? There's only three of
the
us.
The little shops kill you, don't they, as well?
They do. Especially if you bring a 13-year-old who's like, I'm just going to get this, this, and this. And I was like, €80. What the frick?
I know. What kills me is the Saturday or Sunday, like, oh, we just need like soup and roll for lunch. And you go over to your bar and somehow you spend like 70 quid.
I know, it's scary.
And still all I seem to have is soup and a roll for lunch.
Yeah. It's happening outside of Dublin, is it?
Yeah, it's happening everywhere. It's happening everywhere. Anyway, that is Alison's sinner of the week and Saoirse's winner of the week, letterboxed. After the break, we're going to be talking about service small talk and Anna Kendrick's directorial debut.
Mm.
Apparently, all right. I look forward to that.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, you're welcome back. Alison Curtis is with me. Saoirse Hanley as well. What is Anna Kendrick's directorial
debut? I'll help you. It's the end of the week. You do a lot of talking across the week. Woman of the Hour. So it's on Netflix, but it was debuted at the Toronto Film Festival as well. So it's based on a true story of a serial killer called Rodney Alcala. I think I'm saying that properly. It's in the 70s in America. And there was a show called The Dating Show back then. Do you know? It's basically a woman comes on. Three guys are behind a screen.
I know the story.
Yeah. Tony Hale plays the host.
Do you know the story?
No.
This is mental.
Oh, so, okay. So Anna Kendrick plays a character called Cheryl Bradshaw.
Who existed.
This is a true story.
Okay.
So she's an aspiring young actress and she gets what her agent thinks is a break as the woman on this dating show. And Tony Hale is awesome in it, as he's in everything. But basically, how the show works is she gets to ask three questions or multiple questions to three guys behind a screen. At the end of the show, she chooses someone and they get a holiday away together. But this
blind date. But with a holiday instead of just
like,
manky pizza in the corner.
But when she was on the show, Rodney was on the show, one of the contestants, this serial killer, and they figured, they don't know exactly the number of people that he did murder. They figured he'd at least murdered five women before appearing on the show.
Wow.
So it's really short movie. Like I was saying to Saoirse, like when I got, like I had to pause it last night and it got to 19 minutes or 19 minutes left. I was like, there's so much more to tell, but it's done really well. And Anna's brilliant in it and it's utterly terrifying, but they focus a lot on the actual dating show. So the big scene is there. There's a girl I want to mention, Autumn Best, who plays the character, and this is not spoiling it if you go into it, because it really did happen, the woman that eventually got him caught. She's really young and she played, like, she's outstanding in this. Like, she was incredible in this. And the guy that played Rodney, Daniel Zavitato, I'm not saying that right either. I'd never seen him before, but he was terrifying.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
And didn't she, like, in real life, she kind of got the vibe, didn't she?
Oh, she did, completely.
Like, she was like, well, this guy, there's something
I don't
weird
want to ruin it,
guy.
But after she picked him on the show, they did go out and, like, just the moment you see everything change for her and, like, the penny dropping going, this guy's not not a good guy. Yeah. It's really good. But the fact that it's her directing it is great.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say directorial debut. Oh, yeah. I said it. Yes.
Yay. Anyway. It's like my husband could never say Central Statistics Office. Everybody has their thing.
Oh, yeah.
I say normal people.
Pardon?
Normal
like,
people.
Like, if I was to talk about Sally Rooney's Booker show, I'd be like, normal. See, I
do you know what I can't say?
Normal.
Prerequisite.
Prerequisite.
Oh, wow.
Now we're going off
prerequisite.
Again. What's your favorite word you can't pronounce?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, wow. It really is the end of the week, content-wise. Content-wise, too. Stay with us. We've got an hour-long special on words we can't pronounce on the hard shoulder. No, that's not what we're doing.
No.
Anyway, Woman of the Hour is the name of that movie.
Netflix now. It's great.
It is on Netflix. Service small talk, Saoirse. Mm. What is service
now,
small
I realise
talk?
When I say this that it sounds like I'm like service people. Sounds like I mean like a plumber or someone that like does a service in your house. What I actually mean is when you go to like get a service like I'm a car. I mean like when you go to get your nails done or you go to get your hair cut or whatever you like you pay
for. You're getting your appearance serviced.
Yes. So when I go to my nail lady, she's fantastic, and I always chat to her and I catch up with her, and she always comes out with these mad things, but I enjoy chatting to her. It's good crack.
Like whatever. You have a connection.
Yeah,
and we have a story.
Exactly, and it's you know you're there for like the guts of maybe an hour and a half. So like,
but how long it takes to do nails?
I don't know.
Depends
I do mine at
doing.
Home now. I know you're admiring them.
Mm.
This is radio.
He was about to ask. I think that was like the next hour slot afterwards.
Yes. after
we're doing your nails.
Yeah.
After we're going to do a visual slot on the radio about who has the best nails.
Kieran's not winning that one. But basically, yeah, it takes about an hour and a half. So you're there for ages. And like they're, you know, it's very intimate. Like you can't be on your phone, your hands are there. And I was thinking about it because I see TikToks a lot where people are saying like, oh, here's a good hack. Like put your AirPods in and watch this film while you get your nails done. And that just seems
so rude.
So outrageously rude to me. Like this person is holding your hands and doing some art on them and you're just going to ignore them. And I did have, there's two nail techs where I go and the other woman is so lovely as well, but she's not quite as chatty because English isn't her first language and she's Brazilian. And she'll like communicate with you, but she wouldn't be, you know, having the crack the same way because it's just, you know, she just goes and kind of more quiet does her work. But you'd still like chat to her a bit, make the effort and have a laugh with her like. But when I was getting my nails done, the girl right next to me was with her and she didn't say a word to her.
She's watching Fast and the Furious.
Well, look, only if it's the 4.5-star one. One get
exactly,
five.
Yeah.
But
it's
just
awkward.
It's yeah. And I did see a video from an Irish hairstylist, Connor something recently. And he was saying how as a hairstylist himself, he doesn't mind if the client doesn't speak to him. But I can't imagine it.
In a weird way, though, when you're getting your hair done, like it's behind and like that's good to have the chats that way. But then there's a period where you can have a natural break when like it's being
the dryer.
Blow-dried.
I love that.
Yeah, you can't talk over that.
Mm.
Do you talk to your barber?
Well, it's a different person every. I've never had my hair cut by the same person twice in my life, I'd say.
Wow.
And
yet you have remarkable consistency.
Yes.
And, all the time.
And small talk. Yeah,
I think is it different? Thing? I'm going to make a generalization.
Yeah, sorry. It takes 15 minutes.
Yeah, like, okay.
That's a long haircut. It's probably 10 minutes.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean? So by the time you do kind of tell him what you're doing this weekend. And then
so
he
you're
tells
not
you what
at
he's
the stage
doing,
where they
done.
Have to do your ears or your
neck. Oh, sorry. That has started.
Neck.
That has
my
started.
Husband's there for a long time.
Yeah. No, now they do the... they kind of look down and they kind of say, would I do your eyebrows? And I say,
always yes.
Yeah,
always yes.
I know. I say, God. Yeah. And I look around kind of sheepishly as if I don't want someone else to see
me. Does your wife want to, like, sometimes I look at Tony's face and I'm like, I can't talk to you anymore until I cut that one eyebrow off.
Oh, yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
They just go off.
I know. They just go, I don't know how it happens. They just start going in the different directions. They're kind of like, daddy long legs.
Yeah,
kind
and they
crawling
they grow
out
overnight.
Of the tops of my eyes.
Very Halloween appropriate.
Once you get 40. Yeah.
What about taxi drivers?
I love a good chat
busy
with a taxi
night.
Driver.
Will you stay?
Oh, yeah,
long?
I do. I don't ask them anything innovative. I ask them all the bog standard questions, but I do go through them.
Ask if someone's ever barfed in their car.
Do you?
Yeah, no, random.
First question, as soon as you get in the car.
You've never had a barfer.
Because you're about to.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I've never done that.
Pop that cherry.
Sorry, people eating their dinner, that's disgusting. Oh, my God, sorry.
That is disgusting. Sorry. Anyway, on that beautiful note.
Happy long weekend, folks.
Happy long weekend. Alison Curtis, Saoirse Handley, thank you both very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.